have to worry about because he is taking care of it.
Is evidence that we're running. Hope you enjoy our pastor's message. I'm Brother Michael Williams. Thank you for listening. We pray you were enlightened spiritually by our radio broadcast. If you would like a copy of our service or support us by donation, write us at Bethany Ministry Center, P.O. Box 6764, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307, or call us at 318-561-0064 and leave a message. Join us next Saturday at 12:15 p.m.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Is working because you put the bloodline out. I'm like, oh, now glory. We ain't even talking about the blood yet. You start pleading the blood, and you done hit him with another weapon. I come outside, going to work one morning, and looked over there across my driveway and saw something laying out there straight like this right here. And I say, well, I said, hey, look, what that stick doing? Because I ain't got no trees over there. I said, what that stick doing laying out there like that? I got my fence, 2 feet of grass, and then the concrete start. And this stick was halfway on the grass and halfway on the concrete. And I say, now, that's a strange place for a stick to be. I wonder if that's a snake. I better check this out. So I walked over there, and guess what? It's a snake laid out. And guess what? He was dead. He was dead. Stretched out in a straight line, dead. And then I began to examine him for marks. He had a mark on him. I say, well, look at that. The bloodline. I say, he didn't even get on my property good, and he dropped dead. Stop living. See, when the church start really walking in the authority and the power, when you start walking in the power of God. I remember when I first started coming into all of this, we had a big old fence line on side the house. And so I came home one weekend, and that fence line was full of poison ivy. Just blooming poison ivy. Now, I don't recommend you do this, especially if your faith ain't built up, because you're going to need a lot of calamine lotion. Whatever you're going to use. But you know what I say? Mama, I'm going to clean that fence line up. She said, it got poison ivy. I said, that poison ivy can't touch me. I'm redeemed from that. And I went out there and I cleaned that whole fence line up and never got. And before that, I knew I was allergic to poison ivy. But not after I got saved. I just start walking in the authority and say, this poison ivy, I mean, I'm all in pulling them things down there, clean that whole fence line off and never got sick. Never got no poison ivy or anything like that. I'm walking in that authority. Amen. Praise God. Amen. One day, me and Tammy was playing in the backyard, having a great time. And you know how in the country you can see the rain come from a distance? You can see it way over there. You see it heading toward. You can see that cloud coming, and you see the rain coming. And I say, now, Father, now, Tammy was a little girl, and she loved God. And so, you know, we're always just telling her about God, how great. You know how children are. Yeah. Children just believe everything you tell them about God. Yeah. They don't have no unbelief. Amen. You just tell them about what God will do, and they say, okay. Amen. They have to learn unbelief from the adults. So, I use the name in a different way this time. I said, Father. Now I'm asking the Father something. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, me and Tammy's having a good time. Would you show her how powerful you are and let it rain around us? Don't let it rain on us. I said, now, Tammy, watch this. And we saw that rain come on across the by. And when it got to DeWitt's house, about where DeWitt's house was, the rain stopped, and the rain went around the field and went all the way down there around Aunt Penny's, where Aunt Penny used to be. I'm calling some names out now. DeWitt and Aunt Penny, ain't too sweet. On the other side, ain't too sweet in them house. And Cutting Love. And Uncle John Henry. So that rain split and went around like that and met behind my mama's house back there in that field, came together again. I said, Tammy, not out of pride, I said, I'm a son of God. I said, you're a child of God. See what the Father, I don't know if Tammy even remember, you know, her age. I don't know if she even remember that, but it happened. The rain went around us. And then I saw it was dry over here and looked back there in the field, and the rain started coming down in the field and kept moving. There's power in that name. Two ways you use that name. You either use that name as a command to execute the will of God, or you use that name as a petition to your Heavenly Father. And the Holy Ghost show you which one you need to do. I've done both. I prayed for my grandmama who had arthritis in one of her knees, in that left knee. I laid hands and I went to the Father. I said, Father, heal my grandmama's knee. Heal Mama Ethel's knee. Take the pain away from her. And then I just felt it just come up out of me. I say, now, in the name of Jesus, I command the arthritis to go out of this knee. Amen. That's all I prayed. And my grandmama picked that cane up that was in front of her and slung it against the wall. And looked at me with a big smile on her face and said, Greg, I don't need that no more. You're talking about faith in the name. I had just read Mark chapter 16 to her about laying hands on the sick and them getting well. She just believed it. She didn't know that was even in the Bible. She said, that's in the Bible? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, where is that in the Bible? I said, here, read it for yourself. I put the Bible right in her face. I said, here, you read it. And I said, now, Mom Elder, you believe that? She said, it's in the Bible, ain't it? She said, if it's in the Bible, I believe it. I said, well, you believe I can lay hands on you and Jesus heal you? She said, well, it's in the Bible, ain't it? She didn't have no doubt. And Mama know every time they got a little ailment, she's calling, wasn't she? Send Greg up here. It wasn't me. It wasn't my power, my holiness. All I've got, God has given me some tools to use. And one of those tools, which I honor and respect highly, is His name. Amen. Same tools and weapons you got.
Amen.
But if you get off into sin, you ain't going to be thinking about no weapons. You ain't going to be thinking about Jesus' name. You get off into sin, you're going to be running from church, running away from people that love God. You know, you see me coming through the store, and say, oh, there go the pastor. Hey. Where the pastor at? Playing Dodge in the store. Pass on that aisle. There you go. Time me to make my break. Not just me, anybody. When you out of fellowship with God, you out of fellowship with other believers. Ain't that true? You don't want to have no fellowship with them when you're doing wrong. So we see that it was through faith in His name. Now listen at this right here now. Watch this right here. This caused such a stir. Verse 17. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. So Peter is really tempering because he's giving them some strong medicine. He said, now look, I know y'all didn't know what y'all was doing. I know you did it through ignorance. You just didn't know. So he's softening the blow a little bit. So you got to be wisdom when you're ministering to people. Yes. Yes. You just can't be beating them up. You got to give them some strong medicine, but then you got to temper it. And Peter said, now, see, he didn't have to say this, but the Holy Ghost didn't say, now, look, I know what you did it out of ignorance. So that's helping them to receive now. He said, I know what you did it out of ignorance. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he have so fulfilled. And then he tells them what to do. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, talking about Jesus, and every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. He sent Jesus to save your soul, to turn you from your sins. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening time. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. One miracle. Don't tell me them people didn't come running to the temple to find out what done happened. And those that heard the preaching, 5,000 people got saved. God only knows the spiritual bondages that are broken when one person get healed. When one person gets set free, you don't know how many of the captive are released from one miracle from God. Thank God for it. Amen. Praise God. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power? Or by what name have you done this? They done had a whole night to sleep on this thing, trying to figure it out. They can't figure it out. So they got them together and they said, now look, tell us, what power did you use? Whose name did you do this in? Those religious leaders knew that there was a power and there was a name. By what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, listen at this now, filled with the Holy Ghost. It's important to stay full. Yeah. Said unto them, ye rulers of the people and ye elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Here on the battleground, for your glory, we're taking territory, fighting unseen enemies like never before. We're waging war.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuned into the media ministries of Kingdom First Ministries of Bossier City, Louisiana, with Minister Catherine Young. Listen now to a word in season from Minister Catherine Young from a message already in progress.
Our goal. Our goal is to become like him.
Amen.
Our goal is to become like him. And like I said, we're not going to be perfect, but at least our reflection should shine through. That when people see you, they know that it's something different about you. And then when they see that difference in you, it compels them and they're drawn to you. Because they know they want what you got.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's what we have to fix. That's what we have to get in line. And don't think that I'm just preaching, bah, bah, bah. That's what we all have to get. That's what I'm talking about when the scripture says we go from glory to glory. But you can't stay stuck when you first got saved and stay in that glory spot. Because God is progressively moving. And when he's moving, we should be following. Because we should be like, God, I want more of you. God, I'm tired of being bound right here. See, you see people in their glory, but you don't know nothing about their story. So while you sitting back and you judging them, and you judging their praise, you judging how they look, you talking about it don't take all that. You don't know what they've been through. So what they doing is they going from glory to glory. But you got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen. I tell people all the time, I am not going to heaven just sitting around here being bored. I'm not going to sit in church every Sunday and make this a routine. Come on, let me do my due diligence because this is what we do. We come to church on Sunday. I'm not going to sit and be saved, pay tithes and offers, work in the church, and still miss out on the glory. See, I'm not going to live like Moses did all that work. Brought the people out of Egypt through the power of God, and them folks complained the whole time. See, Moses was a good man because I'd have been like, God, kill them all. Kill them all. See, but that's why I ain't God. Now, you was bound in Egypt. You was working 365 days a year. You didn't have nothing good to eat. See, y'all all trying to act cute because I'm talking about you. You ain't had nothing. And God bring Moses in and he said, you know what? Bring them people out. Now, God already knew they was trouble. Didn't catch God by surprise when they started complaining. He didn't say, oh, what did they say? He already knew they was going to clown. But he chose to bring them out anyway. And Moses led them out. Them jokers complained the whole time. Why you bring us out here today? You could have left us in Egypt. At least we was eating the leeks and the garlic. We had some. Moses, why you did this? Moses, why you did that? was reading the Bible. You know how you go from calm and then your eyebrows get cocked up, you get mad. I was like, and then every time God went to get them, Moses and Aaron would stand between God and the wrath. Oh, God, please don't take them out. Please don't get them this time. If you kill them, people going to talk about you and say you brought them all the way out here to kill them in the desert. God lift his wrath. Them jokers went around the same mountain for 40 years. Now, theologians believe that that trip shouldn't have took them but 2 to 3 weeks. But 40 years, how you do that? You would think that somebody would go around the mountain. Did we come this way before? You would think that. This looked familiar to me. We've been this way before. Ain't nobody know nothing. Because they were so busy complaining and whining. So they didn't even pay attention. So 40 years, now in the 40 years, God is reflecting his glory. He done appeared in the, when they was cold at night, he put a pillow of heat over. You not like y'all cold in our church right now. If you say, Lord, send that pillow of fire, you'll warm up. In the day when it was hot in the desert, he brought the cloud to cool them. When Pharaoh chased them, all his glory, he sent whirlwinds to throw them off. And the biggest miracle, oh, they finna get us. Pharaoh coming. Moses looked at the Red Sea and it divided. I'd have been like, you are the only true and living God. There is no other God. Oh, God, you are faithful. You are the best. You are the only. The Red Sea. Them jokers, no sooner as they got to the other side. Now, God's glory should have been all on them. Other nations should have saw them and say, ooh, that's God's people. And the funny thing about it is the Bible tells us that the other nations knew them because of God. Not because they were such great people. But they saw the glory. God, they saw everything. But we just complain and we whine and we mourn and we never transformed. It's got to be more to this thing we call Christendom. You understand what I'm saying? If you're going to go to church every Sunday, if you're going to go to Bible study every Wednesday, Tuesday night, if you're going to do all that, live it. See, I'm not gonna go to hell doing all that good stuff. See, that's the problem. We don't talk about hell no more. When I talked about hell, the whole room took a breath. Because we don't talk about that because we want people to be comfortable. And we don't want to offend nobody. We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't have an authentic relationship with Jesus, sad as it might be, in hell you're going to lift up your eyes. And that is word, word, word. See how I get quiet? See, you could gaze by the atmosphere. You know, people are like, oh, am I really safe? And you gotta check your fruit. You get in that mirror. And you say, you know what? What do people see when they see me? Do they see Jesus? Because see, you could primp, you could fix all this up on the outside and be fly, but toe up from the floor up. Toe up. You can't help nobody else because you still bound. You still mean, you ain't changed, and you ain't transformed. And you look good, but you ain't happy. You look fly, but you ain't happy. See, we have allowed people to destroy us. And we got to get free from that. Okay? You was molested. Okay? And we're not making fun of that. Okay? But it's time to be free. Amen. Amen. You understand? Because see, while you crying and you whining over your past, that other person is free, but you still in prison. And you don't know where they're at, what they're doing. They could probably already gave their life to the Lord and living and die and go to heaven after all they done did, long as they repented, but you still bound up. You divorced. Okay, let's get over that. Amen. Okay, another sister in the church hurt you. A brother in the church hurt you. Pastor them hurt you. Okay, like they say, build a bridge and let's get over it. Amen. Because you can't stay here. Because long as you stay there, you reflect no light. You reflect none. Amen. So we got to get to that place, what the Bible calls, where rather the Greek word says, it's metamorphosis. It's that time where you come from being a caterpillar to a butterfly. Amen. And it says change. When Paul talked about in the text we read, he said, we all, he say us all, are to be transformed and change. Transformation is for all Christians. It's not for a select few. Amen. It's for all of us. So it means once you get Jesus come into your life, the Holy Spirit, when you accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit is going to come into your life and you're going to notice a change. See, that's why you can't tell me you can't habitually sin and say you saved. That's right. And if I hear one more Christian say, God knows my heart, I'm going to fight you. Well, baby, God knows my heart. You done told the whole church up. You done heard everybody. Well, and then you go, somebody tell you, well, God knows my heart. Let me hear that one more time. Because when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he starts sending up red flags. When you getting ready to say something to Ray Ray and cuss him out, the Holy Spirit be like, boom. When you get ready to be mean and get somebody, the Holy Spirit be like, boom. The Holy Spirit just constantly moving. He walks with us. He talks with us. And he even warns us. He lets you know when Sister Holy Ghost is finna clown at church. So he tell you already, get ready. Because she is going to get you. But instead of you arming up and say, you know what, I'm going to get her back. We got to let the Holy Ghost do that work. And you start rebuking them devils before you even see them. We need the help of the Holy Ghost. If you say the Holy Ghost is going to do the work. Only thing you got to do is listen and obey. The Holy Ghost is going to do the work. But what we do is we she tell me, I'm going to tell her. I'm going to get her. Lord, I'm going to put this Christianity to the side because I'm going to get her. I know none of y'all do that. I just do that. Because we think that we feel better and we go ahead and tell each other off. I'ma throw this religion down. How do you throw religion down? And then you say, oh, I'll pick that back up right now. You just can't do that. So that's why God is calling us to a place of examination. The Bible talks about, if you read that whole Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about how Moses, when he went into Mount Sinai and he sat into the presence of the Lord, when he came out, he was so full of God's glory that the people couldn't even look at him. What's wrong with him? Because see, some of us scared of God. You see the God on somebody, it don't take all that. She ain't saved. She ain't saved all that, just putting on. She ain't saved. But they saw the glory of God is shown through. And the people was like, oh my God, we can't look at him. We couldn't, because it was too much God. And when they saw too much God, it exposed the sin in them. You see what I'm saying? And see, that's like us. When we see somebody that's full of God, or like we say to old folks, when growing up in my age group, when we was young, we see a man or woman of God, we respected them. Yeah.